The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
New Kids on the Block.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Jason Donovan. Beagle. Sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson. The Birdie Song. Kylie Minogue. That guy Terry off the word. Ruby Wax. Mr. Bean.
Yellow yeah, Beagle.
Hello, I'm Nick Hancock, and welcome to yet another edition of Room 101. This, for those 60 million or so of you who haven't heard the show, is the programme where a guest celebrity picks his or her least favourite places, pop songs or people to contend for a place in Room 101, BBC Radio's loft space for the lax, lifeless and downright lampoon-worthy. And I decide whether they go in based on a secret system, personal prejudice and some dice. This week, my guest is hilarious comic Frank Skinner. Hello, Frank.
Hello, thanks for that hilarious. Said with a little bit of irony, I thought.
It was we'll just let it pass. Hilarious in inverted commas.
I think it was, actually.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to play in one of your least favourite songs, and then maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about it.
When are you to call me? For you to tell me you care, waiting for you to call me anywhere. I don't care how you show it, only make me know it. So it's time, put it in a letter, call me up, that is even better.
So what was that?
Well, I don't know what it's called. It's by Jigsaw.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I don't know what it's called, because I was in Eastbourne on holiday, right, with my mates, and there was a Radio Caroline road show.
And but they allowed a Radio Caroline. Didn't they get arrested because they were a pirate station?
Anyway, they had a competition for the best Mick Jagger impression, and I won it. Now, Jigsaw...
Please, you cannot get away with a cue like... Come on.
No, no, it was more a visual thing, I mean, but it went sort of... Let's get this.
I can't get no satisfaction.
Something like that.
So and, who else entered then?
A lot of Alan very drunk Jones. People. People that... We know going for these competitions, it's always incredibly drunk people. I did a... Paul Burnett was doing this gig in Birmingham.
The great Paul.
The great Paul Burnett. And he announced a John Wayne impression competition, and one bloke got on stage to do his John Wayne impression and said, Birmingham City is the best team in Europe, and then dropped his throat.
And that's amazing, because I've seen John do that.
Yeah, and I think it was in Roostercom. Anyway, I won the competition. Jigsaw were on the bill that night. If you remember Jigsaw, their hit was, Sky, high, touch the sky,
no,
yeah, what?
They've blown it all sky high by telling me a lie. Different song.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, oh my God. Oh, well, anyway, I won their album. Now, Sky High was the first track on it, so I played that. But I've never, ever played any further into that second track than you just played there.
That's excellent.
And it says something about that track that I've never got to the end of it, I think.
But the picture on the back, I mean, I'd look at it. And, you know, there's nothing clever about laughing at people in 70s clothes, although I have to say that they are four of the worst outfits ever seen. But do you remember in those days, like, there was always one member of the band, the ugly one?
Yeah.
You know, but he was perhaps a bit of a character, you know, or maybe he wrote the songs. This band was definitely formed by the ugly ones leaving four other bands. I have never seen four more ugly men. And I don't want to say allegedly or anything, because there's not a court in the land that would convict me of libel.
And that's right.
Because they are big ugly.
And the chances are they haven't got any prettier over the years.
But this is my theory, which I'd like to put on to you. I believe that Jigsaw all had plastic surgery and went on to become the House Martins. Because when you listen to this again, listen to this.
When are you to call me?
Oh my God.
I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Dedicated to their age.
That is.
You're right, that is scary, isn't it?
That is a bit weird, isn't it?
Wouldn't it be great to find out that it was the House Martins?
Yeah. Or not.
No.
Anyway, I'm not going to let that in because...
Oh, you are rigorous.
I'm hard. I'm certainly hard. Okay, next song.
Well, I can see that you and yoga will never do. Yoga is as yoga does. There's no in-between. You're either with it on the ball or you've blown the scene. I can see looking at you. You just can't get settled. How can I even move? Twisted like a pretzel. Yoga is yoga does.
It's that, I mean, apart from anything else, it's that old rhyming thing. We've had it before. You cannot have settle and pretzel rhyming.
Though I have to say, it's not the worst rhyme in the song. There is one that says, how can you expect me to take this yoga serious when all it ever gives to me is a pain in my posterior?
That famous part of the body, the posterior.
But it's a desperately tragic song. And I am a big Elvis fan. The last thing I would
it's
like
Elvis
to say...
It's Elvis Presley?
It is.
Surely not.
I've blown the gap.
No.
Yeah, well, I am a mega Elvis fan, which is why this hurts me so much. Because when I was a kid, I used to go and watch the films when they came out, stuff like Clam Bake and Paradise Hawaiian Style and stuff, and thought they were all brilliant as a kid. But they never were never on the telly. And when he died, suddenly everyone became Elvis fans, and they started showing him. And when I watched him as a sort of a young adult, I thought, oh, my God, this is terrible. And this, I think, is as low as poor old Al ever got.
The LP is called I Got Lucky, which is a bad description for anyone who actually bought it, I think.
And it's from the film Easy Come, Easy Go, which refers to his dignity.
Almost certainly. Well, I think definitely, Frank, and for the good of mankind in general, Yoga Is As Yoga Does by Elvis the King, deposed, Presley, goes into Room 101.
Now, Elvis the Half Lotus, as he was known.
By those days, yeah. Now, Room 101's door these days is governed by a particular group. Now, you'll know the person, but you can guess at the group as we go on. But who's at the door today?
My God, that was Derek Jameson.
And you know, you can never say that was Derek Jameson without saying, my God, that was Derek Jameson.
No, that's because
like
Derek Jameson is my God, I want to make that clear.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. Okay, right, now it's your most hated television programme.
Well, it is undoubtedly the WWF Wrestling.
No, is this on satellite?
It is on
You're
satellite.
You're a satellite viewer.
I am. Like most people, I bought it for the football and then ended up watching the commercial presentation.
Go on then, so tell us about WWF Wrestling.
Well,
it's not World Wildlife, obviously.
No, it isn't. I think it is World Wrestling Federation, if I'm not mistaken. It's become incredibly popular with small children, and basically it's a lot of bodybuilders who wanted to go into acting following Arnie Schwarzenegger but couldn't quite make it. Didn't get into pornographic films because they hadn't got the right equipment. So they put lots of makeup on, and it starts with them shouting things like, I'm warning you, Kung Fu the Head Crusher, when you step into the midnight world of the Killer Twins, we're going to eat your intestines. And then they have these terrible, terrible like, wrestling matches. Now, what really upsets me about it is that I used to be a mega wrestling fan when I was a kid.
Proper, grown-up, Mick McManus, Count Bartels,
fat northern men. Who
Brian Glover.
And Brian Glover, of course, pretending to be French. It's true. His name was Leon Harris, the man from Paris. But that was real wrestling, as you say. And they were all from, you know, northern housing estates and pretending to be sort of exotic.
Yeah. The thing about Hulk Hogan and British Bulldog is you know full well that 20 minutes after the bout they're sharing Campari and the performer's bar.
Exactly. Yeah. And they look like heavy metal stars rather than just heavy stars.
Well, I'm not going to let WWF wrestling. Yes, I am.
So
I'm allowed to change my mind. That's the sort of guy I am. I'm allowed to... The trouble is, the honest truth is, I haven't decided which ones I'm going to let in and which ones I'm not. But I'm going to let it in because it's WWF wrestling. It's not sport in the same way that tennis and skiing aren't sports. And so immediately goes into Room 101. Let's open up that door.
If you don't belt up, so help me, I'll leave you.
You recognise that?
That sounded like Pauline Quirk to me, wasn't it?
It was Pauline Quirk. So, do we see any link between Pauline Quirk and Derek Jameson?
They're both Cockneys.
Correct. You should have spotted that early. I hate Cockneys. Okay, more music now.
was my first love, and it will be my last. Music of the future, and music of the past, to live without my music would be impossible.
Didn't like it then, don't like it now.
It is very dreadful indeed, isn't it?
It's, yeah, as dreadful as you can get.
But not just that it's a bad song. What it is, it's a swan song, isn't it? It's in the same sort of mould as My Way and,
yeah,
and ABBA's Thank You for the Music.
It's a terrible thing to have a swan song as your first single.
Well, exactly. Someone should have said, well, just leave that on the back burner, John.
Yeah.
Until you've got about 20 hit singles.
Get yourself a bit of a catalogue and then do the anthem, for goodness sake.
But someone should have... people never tell these songwriters, do they? It's like that, you know, that song... Yellow bird up high in banana tree. Someone should have said, mate, has it ever occurred to you that might be a banana? He goes on and on about this yellow bird in a banana tree that never moves and never sings. And
I don't know that song, and I'm wondering if you've made it up for comic effect.
Well, it goes, yellow bird up high in banana tree.
And he's doing all these sound effects himself. That was
incredible.
Too impressive.
Well, thanks very much. But John Miles, that was any song. Most songs about music are terrible. I think things like I Like Country and stuff like that, and this one is the worst.
Mm. But the trouble is with this is you can't actually have it in Room 10 because it's already in. I think you haven't had the benefit of listening to the whole series, unlike
the
vast public out there.
But I must say, I feel better about the world knowing that it's been in there for some time.
Okay, well, bad luck.
It was a hell of a try, but it's good to know that it's in there already.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's too obvious, but fair enough.
Thanks.
Right, okay, most hated object next.
My most hated object is the 120 bus. Which runs from which begins in Dodley, but I used to catch it in Oldbury in the West Midlands and get it into Birmingham city centre. And it seemed I spent the 1980s on that bus, or at least waiting for it. And all my most horrible experience, I got beat up on there, I was sick on there, I fell down the stairs. Mischievous boys tied me to the seat while I was asleep on there once by my overcoat belt.
Oh, yeah, but boys are allowed to be mischievous. They're little scamps, aren't they?
That's true, I suppose. But I had one particularly awful moment. I used to catch it sometimes in the day, and it was raining once. And I'd just started wearing glasses for sort of long distances and things. And I'd got...
And this bus went a long way, didn't it?
Well, I'd got these little round glasses. Everyone, you know, who had glasses then thought, oh, good, now I can look like John Lennon. So I had these little round ones, but it was raining, so the glasses were getting wet. So I had a navy blue bush hat. Do you remember bush hats?
Oh, yeah.
I had one with white stitching on. So I wore it with the brim at the front turned up to keep the rain off me glasses, which gave me the same look as that Cosmo small piece, the Les Dawson character. Anyway, I got on the bus, and it was very crowded. And I sat down, and a woman got on with two little kids. And because it was so crowded, she had to sit at the front of the bus. The two kids came and sat by me. I was chewing gum, right? So one of the kids said, excuse me, what do you have in your mouth? They were like from the local public school. And I said, well, it's chewing gum, you know. And he said, could I have some? And I said, well, I don't think your mummy, you know, she might not like you having chewing gum. And he called down the length of the bus and he went, mummy, could I have some chewing gum, please? And she said, I'm sorry, Jonathan, I don't have any. And he said, this man says he'll give us some. And everyone looked around, and there I was with these two kids with me bush hat and me little glasses on, offering them sweets. And I actually got off the bus about 2 miles before my destination, or sandwich hostility, and walked home in the pouring rain. I was on there once, and all these women were on who'd been shopping all day, and it was a very sort of respectable crowd, not the sort of drunken lot who were on in the evenings. And a chap got on very drunk, and as he was leaving the bus, he broke wind with alarming ferocity as he stood on the platform. Everyone looked in horror at him, and he looked at the old bus and said, name that tune, and then got off. And I thought, in a way, it was a great expression of human freedom.
And was it on the school route? Yeah, it was on the posh school route, wasn't it?
Very posh down there. Sheet of newspaper under the cuckoo clock, as they say. But it also went through some incredibly rough areas as well. So it was a sort of a... It was a potpourri of the West Midlands, I think.
Was it a journey through the British class system?
I think it was, and out again.
Yeah. And out the other side into West Bromwich.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not letting that number 120 bus from Birmingham to Albury on because of the bloke who said name that tune.
Oh, he's safe to die.
Okay, next one.
Thank you very much. I'd like to go back a few years, do a number for you. You may remember, you may not remember. I don't care whether you remember it or not. It's a heck of a song. Carl Perkins tune, one entitled... Well, it's one for the money, two for the show... Three to get a little in. Go, Cat, go. Well, I'd start that over again. Did I hear someone say something about Elvis? Elvis did not have that record first. Carl Perkins had the record. Elvis Presley recorded the record when Carl Perkins was laid in the hospital nearly dead from a wreck. And I think he tried to steal it from him. Anyway, here's the song. Well, it's one for the money, two for the show.
Well, that was Jerry Lee Lewis at his Frank Best, wasn't
it? He was a little bit Frank Best. It's very, very distressing for me, this. Basically, because I am a big Jerry Lee Lewis fan.
And a great Elvis fan.
And a big Elvis fan. So it's like if you heard George Eastham slagging off Terry Conroy in a pub.
Do you know, I was going to say exactly the same thing.
It would be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And he had a real thing about Elvis. You know, he used to turn up at Graceland with a gun. He turned up once. He used to do it quite a lot, but eventually he actually drove into the gate, smashed the gates up, stepped out of his car drunk with a gun, and said, "Get Elvis out here, and we'll see who's the king of rock and roll."
Yeah, because if there's one way to decide who's the king of rock and roll, it's to see if an unarmed man can be shot by a man with a gun.
And you've got no chance of fleeing into the darkness in a white sledge.
Especially with all those reflective spangling jewels
exactly,
on it.
Exactly. But I love the man, but it's another problem when you've got a hero and all reports say that he's an incredibly horrible human being.
Yeah.
That's my dilemma with Jerry Lee.
Where I take issue with Jerry Lee Lewis slagging off Elvis Presley in this particular piece is, how can he slag him off without mentioning yoga is as yoga does? And it's for that reason that I'm not allowing it in.
Oh, well,
if you're going to start a diatribe against Elvis Presley and you haven't got the wit to mention yoga is as yoga does, you certainly do not get into Room 101. And so we move very quickly on.
It would have been great, though, if he'd have said it and he stole yoga is as yoga does.
From Carl Perkins.
From Derek Jameson, as you like.
Yeah. Okay, most hated book.
This is very difficult for me because I don't finish books at all. So the two books that I've chosen are both... one I know to be a very good book, and one might well be. But they've both been looking at me from my bookcase for about 3 years with bookmarks in them to where I got to. The first one is called The Black Light by Thomas Howes, which is a great book about boxing, which I got within 30 pages of finishing.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I've never, ever got round to finishing it.
Stopped on the 13th page. Technical knockout.
And with this, the other one, which is called Duke, The Life and Times of John Wayne, I've never got further than chapter 3, Desert Homestead. So it's me, really, rather than the books. I never finish any, and I hate them just for not being finished.
Yeah, but what you're saying is, and let's just take the tone down a little bit here, Frank. You're saying that you hate yourself, aren't you?
I hate...
How many times do I have to tell you not to send in guests who are going to set themselves off? It's in the psychiatrist's chair. It's David Baddiel all over again. I don't want to hear this man open his heart to me. This is meant to be a laugh. For goodness sake. Right, I'm not letting him in because it was a bit of, you know, self-analysis going on there. And I think you've got a bit of benefit out of it. So we're going to move on to the next one. And it's your most hated place. I mean, to me, that's just a Satanist hymn.
Yes, well, it's Highbury.
Which is, of course, for those uninitiated in devil worship, the home of Arsenal FC.
Do I have to justify this?
Well, no, I mean, I had to think, and sometimes there's just too much you can say in agreement.
Well, there are specific reasons for this, and that is that West Brom, who I love with great passion and joy and sometimes horror, Lost two semi-finals then, relatively quick succession.
QPR and to...
First to Ipswich and then to QPR, yeah. And I mean, they always use the saddest thing about, you know, it's a cliche, and it's nothing quite like losing a semi-final, but it is very horrible.
I'm with you, because I've sat through two losing semi-finals, and the reason I'm particularly with you is the two we lost in successive years in 71 and 72 were two Arsenals, so it makes me hate Highbury even more.
Oh, well, that's even worse.
And if I was to choose an epicentre for a nuclear explosion, it would be Highbury. But it would have to be quite a big one, because I'd want it to take in Old Trafford as well.
Yeah, really. It'd be a hell of a fallout pass.
Oh, there, yeah. All right, well, it's definitely going in. I mean, very little humour there, but a lot of genuine pathos.
No, exactly. I see no humour in it at all.
No, just a couple of tear-sodden microphones here.
Yes.
And may I say that I wish all the ill in the world on Arsenal and Manchester United, and for you on QPR and Ipswich, especially because that QPR goal was just a deflection. They hit Clive Allen, wasn't it?
Well, they've never been any good, have they?
No.
You've got a beautiful chin. You've got beautiful skin. You've got a beautiful face. You've got...
Nothing. You've got nothing, have you? That, which immediately makes me think, and Tottenham I'd like to add into the list.
There's a theme, isn't there, with these people we're hearing calling out from room 101?
Well, I told you there's a theme. That's more Cockneys for you, isn't it?
That was professional Cockneys.
Well, and to prove it, do you know what label they record on?
Jelly Deal Records.
Good effort, but East End for them. Rockney Records.
Oh, good stuff.
Do you know what that is? If you didn't notice that out there, listeners, that's the cross, isn't it, between rock and Cockney, do you see? And that's the sort of thing that Chaz and Dave do. Anyway, most hated film.
Most hated film is very easy, because I saw a film recently which did not only depress me, but turn my stomach. And it was a thing called Orlando. It was an incredibly arty, terrible, classical music. Oh, up its own rear end.
Immediately,
film.
You're preaching to the converted, because art house movies, crap house movies, I say.
Yeah, but the most unforgivable, it was one of those art house movies which put out a poster which promised considerably more tit than it actually delivered. And I hate that. Because you can't walk out, because you think there's no way I'm going to walk out and then find out there's a really dirty bit.
Exactly.
At the end.
And the thing is, they know that's their audience. That's why they do it. They play the intellectual card, but they know that the people they're getting in are the back row brigade.
And of course, the woman they put in it is. She plays a bloke for part of the film. It's pretty obvious that she's a woman, but she's a pretty, you know, skinny, pale, not very well looking. And then you get people like Maria Whittaker, who are scratching around looking for work, and I can't see the justice in that.
Exactly. And I might say about Tilda Swinton, who is the actress who played this part, that she plays a bloke who becomes a woman in this film, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And in her other big success, it was a TV play where she played a woman who lived her life as a bloke. So basically, she's just a sort of trendy Danny LaRue, isn't she? Really?
What a good point.
Our producer said, because it was about a bloke who spends his life as a woman, that it was basically just a remake of Tootsie, which I thought was a very fine comment.
If only it had been that.
And by nothing, some way, the finest she's ever made.
It's one of these films that nothing happens, you know. And I heard one bloke and his girlfriend discussing it on, I'm sure he wouldn't call her his girlfriend, he'd call her his life partner, discussing it on the tube, and he was saying how marvellous it was, and that made me hate it even more.
It's part of the same thing. And in fact, the reason it can't get to Room 101, because all British films are already in Room 101. I look across the producer for affirmation, it's true. And it's the age-old thing. People say the British film industry is on its knees, and the reason is because the British film industry makes crap films. That's why. They are uniformly awful.
Do you include the Children's Film Foundation?
No, obviously not all the Carry On films, naturally. Okay, more music, I think.
Late in the evening, she's wondering what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup and brushes her long, long hair.
That was Eric Clapton with Wonderful Tonight, I think it's called. First thing that strikes me about this record, in fact, I actually heard the song before I heard the record. I was living in this, it was in a bed seat, And another bloke in the same bedsit asked me if I'd teach him to play guitar, right? Which I do very badly, which he couldn't do at all. And I said, well, the best thing to do is if you pick a song you like, I'll teach you how to play that song. And he said, well, do you know Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton? I thought, no, but if someone's going to, you know, teach someone to play guitar, they don't want to hear Eric Clapton, you know, because, you know, I'm not a bit of an old slow hand. So anyway, he said it goes like this, and he sang it, and I thought, well, clearly it doesn't go like that, because you can't sing, mate, it's terrible. But when I heard the record, I realised he'd done an incredibly accurate rendition of it. But more importantly, I went to Stamford Bridge to do some filming not too long ago, right, and they were talking about their executive club. Now, let me give you a bit of pre-information. When Albion, West Brom, got a great team in the late
60s. 70s,
Eric Clapton became West Brom's celebrity supporter. I remember him having the team lined up and gave them all a gold disc on the pitch. And a big thing about how his granny was a West Brom supporter, he'd always loved them.
Can I just say that you're one up on us then, because we've got Tony Hatch.
Very good. But anyway, I went to Chelsea and they said, yeah, we've got an executive club and we get a lot of our celebrity supporters come here. John Major, David Mellor, Eric Clapton. And I said, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, Eric Clapton, big Chelsea fan. So what's happened is since West Brom have hit hard times, Eric Clapton has decided that now he's a Chelsea fan. And this is unforgivable.
I'm with you totally. But I mean, I think it particularly goes in because I always like, I'm glad when people choose songs that are, the common consensus says, what a beautiful, lovely song. And I think, yeah, what's all that about?
Does it though?
But, yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Oh, that's very tragic.
Now, where the ladder of life has been strung, you might think a sweep on the bottom most rung. Though I spend me time in the ashes and smoke, in this sore wide world, there's no happier bloke.
Dick Van Dyke doing, in my opinion, what is, although it's much slagged off, quite an accurate Cockney.
Well, I think you could give us a burst, quite honestly. Say 45p your apples to me.
What? 44p your apples.
Well, you see, even you beat Dick Van Dyke. There you go. No, OK, well, I think you've done very well. You've got four in, which is just about the average, I think. You've got Yoga Is As Yoga Does by Elvis Presley. You've got WWF Wrestling, which nearly didn't go in, but then last minute change of heart.
Yes, you wavered.
Highbury, and of course, Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton. So, thank you very much, Frank Skinner. Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock, starred guest Frank Skinner. The producer was Lissa Evans.